I didn't have a lot of options. After the layoff, I burned through most of my savings in under 6 months. My lease was up, rent had jumped again, and I didn't exactly have stellar credit or a fallback plan. What I had was a car full of boxes, a suitcase, and a laptop that would only boot up when plugged in at a 45-degree angle. So, when I saw the ad, quiet single bedroom, detached, utilities included, $600 per month, I messaged the number before I even finished reading the rest. The landlord didn't ask any questions. He didn't care about credit or ask for a background check. All he wanted was the first month's rent in cash, which I withdrew across three ATMs to avoid alerting the bank that I was nearly empty. When I pulled up, the place looked decent, I guess. Old, but not falling apart. A single level structure with chipped paint, crooked porch light, and a lived-in smell that clung to the air like wet paper. He handed me the keys with the lease still half filled out, said, "Don't worry about the quirks, she's old but she'll hold up." Then got in his truck and left. Inside was smaller than the photos. The living room bled straight into the kitchenette. The floor groaned even when I wasn't moving. But it was quiet, and it was mine. The bedroom was plain. Three white walls and one with wallpaper, floral and faded. It looked like something out of an estate sale. It was the only decorative thing in the house, and even then, just barely. I ran my hand over it. The paper was smooth. No tears, but old. I figured maybe it was left over from a remodel that never got finished. I'd tear it down and paint it later, add it to the list. That night, I set up a mattress on the floor, shoved my boxes into corners, and fell asleep faster than I expected. But around 3 AM, I woke to a sound behind me. It was a soft scritch, scritch, scritch. Faint but steady, right behind the wallpapered wall. I listened for a while, eyes still closed. Figured it was mice or maybe pipes. It was an old house after all. I turned over, pulled the blanket tighter, and made a note to buy traps in the morning. The next day was quiet. I spent most of it trying to make the place feel less like a Craigslist trap and more like a place where a person actually lives. I unpacked a little, stacked books I probably wouldn't read on a bent shelf, rearranged the two pieces of furniture I owned, a folding table and chair, to create the illusion of space. There was no internet yet, so I sat outside for an hour trying to poach someone's Wi-Fi signal. No luck. I eventually tethered to my phone until the data cap begged for mercy. I made a sad pot of pasta and ate it over the sink, the kind of meal that feels lonelier than it should. Still, it was a roof, it was shelter, and I hadn't had to beg anyone for it. That counted for something. That night, I slept with a window cracked. The house got muggy without airflow. A few bugs made it in, but nothing worse than a moth dive-bombing my lamp. I was starting to feel like I could make this work. Until I woke up around 2:30 AM. At first, I didn't know what pulled me out of sleep. No loud noises or scratching this time. Just a feeling, like my eyes had opened on their own, like something was waiting. The room was dim, streetlight through the blinds. I turned onto my back and caught it immediately. The top corner of the wallpaper, maybe 6 inches wide, had peeled itself away from the wall. I sat up, staring at it. The paper hung there like it had been carefully unglued. I got up, flicked on the light, and touched it. It was dry. Not soft or damp. No reason it should have came loose at all. I muttered to myself, found some tape in my box of random crap, and stuck the edge back down, smoothed it flat with my palm. Maybe the humidity loosened it. Old paste, cheap materials, whatever. I went back to bed, rolled over, and tried to ignore the knot forming in my stomach. 10 minutes later, I checked again. It had peeled back. Same corner, same exact fold. This time, the curl was cleaner. Not like gravity had pulled it, more like it had been pinched and rolled. I didn't touch it. I stared at it for a while, took out my phone and snapped a photo, then taped it again, firmer this time, pressed harder. I took another photo, same angle. 10 minutes later, peeled again. I flipped through the photos. In the first, the wallpaper was flat. In the second, the corner curled downward as if it never stayed down at all. I told myself it was just bad tape or bad luck or that I was overtired and didn't press hard enough. But part of me was worried. Not for anything grand, but for my deposit I would desperately need back if I were to leave. A few evenings later, I sat on the edge of my mattress and stared at the wall like it owed me money. The wallpaper had peeled back again, more this time. The top third of one sheet hung free, drooping like a tired eyelid. Same corner, same precision. Still no damage, just peeled clean. It was starting to feel less like wear and tear and more like intention. I told myself if I was going to keep living here, I couldn't let every weird creak or draft spin me out. So I got up, walked over, and peeled it further. Might as well see what I was dealing with. Behind it, the drywall wasn't what I expected. It should have been flat, maybe a little dusty. Instead, it was scarred. Long, deep vertical grooves ran down the surface. The scratches were spaced, deliberate and repetitive, like someone had dragged nails through it in slow, meditative strokes, over and over. I ran my hand over them. The surface was warm. Definitely not drywall temperature. It was probably bad insulation or an old heater line behind the panel. I'd seen worse in cheaper places. Still, I let the wallpaper fall back into place and didn't tape it this time. That night, I had one of those half-sleep, sweat-stained dreams, the kind where your brain just loops the day's stresses into something heavy and warped. In the dream, I was in bed, just like I actually was, and I could hear faint, rhythmic breathing as if someone's standing inches away. I woke up drenched, blanket kicked off, jaw tight and heart racing. Reflexively, I looked to the wall. The wallpaper was peeled back down to shoulder height now, a smooth, clean fold with no tears or flakes on the floor, like it had waited for me to fall asleep. Frustrated, I grabbed a stapler from a box and slammed in a fresh strip. I stapled the paper flat again and again, all the way around the edge. Then I shoved the bookshelf over, pressed it flush to the wall, boxes and all. I didn't even care what was inside them, just needed weight, pressure, distance. When I stepped back, I realized I was shaking. I felt like I wasn't fixing it to preserve the apartment. I was fixing it to keep something out. By the next night, the wallpaper had peeled so far down, it looked like a curtain. The entire sheet sagged off the wall in one long, lazy flap. I woke up to the sound of the edge brushing the bookshelf, a faint papery sound like it was reaching down to tap me. That was the final straw. Around noon, after pacing the house and staring at the wall like it might blink, I gave in and called the landlord. He answered on the third ring with a distracted, "Yeah, I explained the issue as calmly as I could. The wallpaper's peeling, is worse every day. It won't stay down. I've tried tape, staples. It's just not holding. Long pause, then. Still good paper, he said. Just needs repasting. Been up since the 80s. Original install. Italian import, actually. Real quality stuff. Like it was proud of it. Like the history made it my problem. Right, but it won't stick, I said. It's not damaged, it's just coming off the wall, completely. So, repaste it, he said, tone already slipping toward irritated. You think I'm going to replace it just because you can't work a glue brush? I blinked. Can I just take it down, paint it over? I don't really care about the wallpaper, I just want... Absolutely not. His voice sharpened, like I'd suggested knocking down a wall. That wallpaper costs money, he said. Real money. You tear it, you pay for it. You remove it, you pay for it. You paint over it, you're definitely paying for it. I sat there, gripping my phone, staring at the opposite wall while he kept talking. Last guy in there tried the same thing, he muttered. Said it kept coming up. Got fed up. Left without notice. Some people just don't know how to maintain a property. I'm not your mother, and this ain't a hotel. I clenched my jaw. I'm not asking you to redo the place. I'm just saying something's not right with the wall. There are marks under... Then stop looking under it, he snapped. You keep picking at things, they're gonna come apart. Just paste it back. It's not complicated. He hung up before I could respond. I sat on the edge of the bed, phone still in my hand, and stared at the wall. The wallpaper had started to curl again. I watched it happen in real time, the edge slowly peeling back with a sluggish rhythm of something that knew it had me. Like it had heard me. Like it had won. By the day after, the entire top sheet had drooped down like a curtain someone forgot to tie back. It folded over itself, soft and slack, like skin trying to slough off. I stood there, staring at it for a long time, holding the new tub of paste in one hand and a brush in the other. I'd picked it up that afternoon, muttering to myself the whole drive. Cheaper than losing a deposit. Just paste it back. Not complicated. I repeated that to myself like a mantra now. Just paste it back. But before I did, I figured I should wipe down the surface underneath, in case it was damp or moldy or whatever was making the paper come loose. I didn't want to trap anything wet between layers. That'd just make it worse. I peeled the sheet further to expose the wall, slow and careful, the way you open a closet you weren't sure was empty. The drywall underneath looked the same as before, pale, slightly uneven, still marked with those long, faint grooves, the ones I told myself were left over from some lazy renovation job. But then I saw a spot about the size of a nickel, maybe quarter-sized. It was dark, circular, and slightly raised. It sat low on the wall, just beneath where the fold had rested, as if waiting for light. I leaned in, squinted, frowned. Mold. It had to be. The house always smelt vaguely damp, especially in the mornings, and I'd been keeping the windows shut tight most nights. Maybe the airflow was bad. Old wood, old paint. Things sweat when they rot. I muttered under my breath and went to the kitchen, grabbed a sponge and some all-purpose cleaner. Nothing fancy, just whatever was under the sink when I moved in. I sprayed the spot and pressed the sponge to it, gave it a few hard circles. The black didn't lift. I scrubbed harder, switching to the rough side. The edges started to smear. At first, I thought it was working, but then I realized the smear wasn't fading. It was spreading. The edges stretched thin, like veins. Little black strands spidered outward, low contrast against the off-white drywall, branching like cracks in ice. They didn't flake or bubble like mold. They just grew, pulled out from the center like roots searching for water. I dropped the sponge in the bucket and stared. The shape widened, crept upward, slow, controlled. The veins bent inward, five streaks curling back toward the center, arched, evenly spaced, almost like... I didn't want to finish the thought, but my brain did it for me. Fingers. I leaned in, unwilling and unable to stop. The black lines formed a handprint, just slightly larger than my own, splayed flat, as if someone had pressed their palm against the wall from the other side. And it wasn't paint. The wall felt warm beneath it. The noticeable warmth that was stronger on the bare wall, like skin under a fever. I stepped back too fast, heart thudding like it was trying to outrun my ribs. I stood there for a second, frozen between fight and flight. Then something switched in my brain. Not a scream, but instinct. I grabbed the brush, scooped out the paste, slapped it over the shape without looking, hands moving fast, clumsy. Without waiting for it to dry, I grabbed the sheet of wallpaper, lined it up, and pressed it down with both palms, smoothing from the center out. My breath was shallow, my chest tight. I pressed harder, stapled the edges for good measure. Then I stepped back. The floral pattern covered everything. The hand, the black, the warm. It looked normal again. Just old, tacky wallpaper in a quiet, forgettable house. I stood there, staring at it, until my knees started to shake. And even then, I stayed longer. It wasn't me admiring my work, but because I thought I saw the wallpaper shift just slightly, like something behind it had moved. I didn't sleep much after that. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw the pattern of the wallpaper pulsing behind my eyelids, floral shapes shifting in the dark, curling open and shut like lungs. By morning, I convinced myself it was exhaustion, that the spot, the warmth, all of it, had an explanation. I just needed someone else to look at it, someone responsible. Because despite everything I had done, it started peeling again. So I called the landlord. He picked up on the third ring, voice rough with that put-on annoyance people use when they want to make you feel like an inconvenience. "Yeah. Hey, it's me, from the rental in Ashbury," I said. "The wallpaper's still coming off, worse than before. There's a..." I stopped myself. I almost said handprint. "There's a dark spot underneath. I thought it was mold, but it won't come up. The wall feels warm too." He sighed, loud, drawn out. "Jeez, you sound like the last guy." That made me pause. "The last tenant?" "Yeah, him. Same thing. Walls this, noises that. Kept calling like I was his damn building manager. I told him to stop fussing, but he wouldn't. Eventually broke lease and split. I filed for damages, ruined his credit." He said it like he was proud. "Right," I said, trying to calm down. "Well, this isn't about credit. The wall's doing something, it's..." "Look," he interrupted, "just scrub it with mold remover and fix it yourself. That's what normal people do when something's dirty. You can handle that, can't you?" The tone wasn't even subtle anymore. Condescending, mean, like he wanted me to lose my temper so he could hang up smugly. I swallowed hard. "I've already tried cleaning it." "Then scrub harder." He actually laughed. A low, wheezing sound that hit me right in the chest. If you're not capable of basic upkeep, I can find someone who is. Don't make this difficult. And that was it. Click. I sat there with the phone still to my ear, listening to the dead air. For a long time, I didn't move. The house was quiet, but it didn't feel quiet. The silence had a texture to it, thick, waiting like the walls were listening to see what I'd do next. I looked toward the bedroom. The wallpaper was already curling again, slow, deliberate, a flower unfolding. That was when it hit me. There wasn't going to be any help. No maintenance man, no inspection, no landlord riding in with keys and concern. It was just me. Me, the house, and the thing behind the wall. I had to fix this by any means. So I drove to the hardware store just before closing and walked straight to the adhesive aisle. I didn't even bother with the wallpaper paste section. I knew that wasn't going to cut it. I found what I was looking for on the bottom shelf. Industrial construction adhesive. The kind used to bond drywall to cinder block. The kind meant to last decades. I carried it up to the counter, set it down like I was buying ammo. The guy at the register gave it a glance, then looked up at me. "You know this stuff's permanent, right?" he said. "Once it's on, it's on." I nodded. "Good." He didn't say anything after that, just scanned it and bagged it up. Back home, I changed into clothes I didn't care about and opened the tub on the bedroom floor. The chemical reek hit me immediately, sharp and metallic, with that sour undertone like burning plastic. My eyes watered. My throat stung. The wallpaper was hanging lower than before, not just curling now, sagging, drooping like it had weight behind it, like it was being pushed from the other side. I ignored it, laid out my tools, took a breath. Then, I went to war. I slathered on the adhesive with the stiffest brush I had, no caution this time, no finesse. Just heavy-handed strokes from top to bottom, smearing it into every crease, corner, and bare spot. I worked fast, like if I slowed down, the wall might notice. The paste bubbled as it spread, thick as cork and twice as sticky. It sizzled slightly where it met the drywall. I told myself it was just a chemical reaction. When I finished, I lifted the sheet of wallpaper and pressed it down, firm and steady, both palms. I held it like I was sealing a wound, flattened it hard, smoothed out every ripple, every fold. I could feel the heat of the wall behind it, not warm like before, but reactive, twitchy. I prayed I hadn't accidentally set off a chemical reaction. I held until my arms ached, until it felt like the glue had gripped for good. Then I stepped back. The wall looked normal again. Just old, ugly wallpaper, patterned with those delicate little roses that now felt like tiny eyes. And for the first time in days, I let myself breathe. It stayed that way for a few hours. No peeling, no smells, no movement. I ate dinner standing up in the kitchen, keeping the bedroom in my peripheral vision like it might sneak up on me. But nothing happened. Around 9 p.m., I walked past the doorway and froze. There was a shape on the wall, faint but wrong. I flicked on the light. A bulge, right in the center of the wallpapered wall. It was subtle, barely curved at first, the kind of distortion you'd mistake for bad lighting or a paint bubble. But I hadn't painted anything, and it wasn't there an hour ago. I stepped closer, didn't touch it. The paper wasn't loose, it had come unstuck. The wall itself was starting to push outward. It was swelling from the inside, like something didn't like being sealed in. By morning, it wasn't subtle anymore. The bulge in the wall had grown, no longer a ripple or a bump, but a full swelling at the center of the wallpapered section. It bowed out like something pressing against the balloon from the inside. Still, no tears or peeling. The pattern remained pristine, perfectly intact, but the whole thing looked like it was holding its breath. I stood a few feet back, just staring, trying to decide whether to leave it alone or touch it. Part of me wanted to pack a bag and never look back. Another part wanted to finish the job, whatever that meant now. I stepped forward, slowly. The air felt warmer the closer I got. I reached out and pressed a hand against the center of the bulge. It gave under my palm, soft, elastic. It felt wrong. Not like anything a wall should feel like. It was like pushing against muscle. I pressed harder, and then it pushed back. Just slightly, enough to let me know it knew I was there. I stumbled backward, breath caught in my throat. Jeez. I didn't think. I grabbed my phone and called the landlord. He picked up, groggy, irritated. What now? There's damage. The wall's swollen. The section I fixed, it's ballooning out like something's behind it. That got his attention. Damage, he repeated. I could hear his posture shift through the phone. How bad? Did you mess with the wall? What did you use? I used adhesive, I said. Construction grade. The wallpaper wouldn't stay down, so I... Oh, he cut in, suddenly chipper. You used the wrong stuff. I could hear the smile behind his voice. Yeah, see, that's on you. If the drywall's compromised, I'd have to replace the whole section, and that ain't cheap, not to mention my nice wallpaper. You told me to fix it. I said to paste it. You used industrial glue. Big difference. That's a liability issue now. I started to argue, but he rolled over me. I'll come by tomorrow, bring a contractor. We'll take a look and get you an estimate for repairs. Click. No goodbye, no concern, just the sound of a trap snapping shut. I lowered the phone and stared at the bloated curve in the wall, the floral wallpaper stretched like skin over a bruise. And for the first time, I realized this wasn't just going to cost me money. I was in something I didn't understand, and I wasn't sure it would let me out. The landlord's truck rumbled into the driveway the next morning, followed by a dented van that looked like it hadn't passed inspection in years. He climbed out first, crisp polo shirt tucked into slacks that didn't fit right, sunglasses perched on top of his head like he thought they made him look important. The man who followed was built like a refrigerator in overalls. He didn't say anything, just gave a short nod before following the landlord up the steps. From the way they greeted each other, the casual laugh, the slap on the shoulder, I could tell this wasn't the first time they'd done this routine. The landlord barely said hello before brushing past me into the bedroom. And there it was. The wall, bowed and taut, the floral pattern stretched thin. He gave a long, exaggerated whistle. Ah, he said, rubbing his chin. Yeah, that'll be a problem. The contractor nodded, already running his hand along the bulge. Might be a moisture pocket, he said. Could be pressure building under it. He turned to me with that fake professional smile. If it bursts, that's an emergency repair. Could run you thousands. The landlord glanced back at me. Lucky for you, I'm being reasonable, he said. Let's just take a look. I clenched my fists at my sides. Watching them together, the two of them smirking, talking in coded contractor language I barely understood, made me want to tear the whole wall down myself. They didn't care about fixing it. They cared about owning me. The landlord stepped closer, pressing a hand flat against the bulge. "Ooh, it's soft," he said, grinning. "You feel that? That's the adhesive reacting to humidity." The contractor joined him, pressed a finger into the curve. He chuckled low. "Yeah," he said. "Could be pressure building under it. Best not to poke it too." He pushed harder. "Much." The wall moved. Not the wallpaper. The whole wall. It shifted under their hands like something flexing beneath the surface. The landlord frowned. "What the hell?" Then it rippled. The bulge pulsed outward once, the floral pattern stretched so tight it almost vanished. A sound followed, a wet, sticky pop like a blister bursting. And then the wall exploded. It happened fast, too fast for my brain to catch up. The wall burst, not the plaster cracking or wallpaper tearing. It ruptured like something inside wanted out. A spray of thick, black liquid splattered across the landlord's chest, soaking through his shirt and spotting his face. He staggered back, coughing, eyes wide in confusion. "What the hell?" Then, a hand shot out. Not human, not even close. It was slick, the color of wet tar, and shaped almost like a person's, but too long. The fingers tapered into jagged, uneven tips. Not nails, hooks. It slammed into his chest with a wet thud. He screamed, high and sharp, as a thing wrapped around his torso, digging in deep. His shirt tore, then his skin. The claws sank in like meat hooks. And then, without hesitation, it pulled. The contractor lurched forward, grabbing the landlord's arm. "Wait!" But it was too late. The pull was so fast, I heard the snapping of bones and the ripping of flesh before it even hit the wall. The wall didn't open wider, yet the hand managed to pull the landlord through in one yank, violent and messy. Viscera squirted where excess skin and limbs caught before entry. The landlord's body folded, compressing unnaturally, bones snapping, his limbs twisting inward like wet cardboard. One shoulder slipped in, then his chest, his face, his mouth still open in a soundless scream, all in one motion. And then he was gone. All of him gone, through a space barely large enough for a child to crawl through. His keys hit the floor and clattered, spinning in a red puddle. The contractor stumbled backward, face white, lips moving without sound. I didn't think. I ran. We both did. Down the hall, hoping the daylight would save us somehow. Then, stupidly, I looked back. The bedroom door still hung open. The sunlight reached just far enough inside to light the wall. Where the bulge had been, where the thing had come out. The wallpaper was flat again, perfectly smooth, just one messy red ring in the pattern, right at chest height. I escaped behind the contractor. I didn't stop until I was halfway to the road, hands shaking, vision swimming, chest heaving. The cops didn't believe us. Not really. They showed up 30 minutes after the 911 call. Two cruisers, an unmarked sedan, and eventually a detective in a grey button-up who looked like he'd rather be anywhere else. They cordoned off the bedroom, walked in and out, took photos, asked the same questions a dozen different ways. And every time, I told them the same story. so did the contractor, which surprised me honestly. He was pale and rattled, still stuttering when he spoke, but he didn't change a word. The wall just opened. Something grabbed him. He screamed. The wall, it just took him. We stood together in the hallway while they searched, listening, watching, waiting for one of them to scream or come running. But no one did. Eventually, the detective called us back in. The bedroom looked normal. No blood, no hole, no black fluid. Just that stupid floral wallpaper. Flat, clean, undisturbed. The only sign that anything had ever happened was the landlord's keyring still lying on the floor where it had fallen. One of the officers picked it up with a gloved hand and bagged it, like that meant something, like it proved something. The detective looked at me for a long time, then the contractor. He had this expression on his face, like he was trying to figure out whether to laugh or have us arrested. "You're sticking to that?" he asked finally. "We're telling you what we saw," I said. He nodded slowly, wrote something in his notebook. "We'll be in touch," he said, voice flat. The investigation would be long, I knew that, but that left me displaced. My life was in that house. God knows it wasn't smart to stay there, but I had no other choice. I spent time looking for somewhere else to stay, but had no luck. In the meantime, I only did what was necessary in the house, changing clothes, washing myself, storing food, but everything else I did in my car. I slept there, ate there, and job searched. The police called a few times, came by once more, but eventually, it just stopped. No arrest, no charges, no real investigation. Just a note in the file. Unresolved disappearance. That was it. The landlord was gone. And the wall, still standing. I moved out the next week. Didn't pack much. Left behind the furniture, some clothes, even the mattress. The landlord's van was still in the driveway when I left. No one had come to claim it. I dropped the keys to the mail slot and didn't look back. They kept the deposit, of course. Some nonsense about property damage. I didn't argue. I just wanted out. I ended up in a house share on the other side of town. Two roommates, one bathroom, kitchen sink that never quite drains right. But it's safe. It's loud and cramped, and no one knows how to take the trash out on time. But the walls don't breathe, and nothing peels itself open in the dark. I sleep. Not great, but I sleep. Some nights, I still dream of it. Not the landlord screaming or the blood. Just the feel of it. That soft give under my hand. Warm like breath, the wallpaper stretching against my palm, like skin waiting to tear. But then I wake up, and it's gone. And I tell myself I'm lucky. I got out.